Run out in the middle of the road, hijack a bus,
steal a city bus.
These people have been drinking since 6 a.m. Assumably they're plastered, just driving this massive bus.
Whole family gets on.
These people are going away for decades.
I'm in a real identity crisis here, Al.
Nothing penetrates within Dawson.
Who do you see in the mirror?
Hey!
Fell grey, hot.
Hello, and welcome to the Incomplete Series, the podcast where we watch the first episode of a TV series and then the very last episode of a TV series, and we just try and figure out what happened in the middle. Joining me to do this is my good friend and president of the Tim Heidecker Fan Club of Australia, is Jeremy Wiseman. Jerome, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Yeah. Do you have anything to say about that intro?
No.
Nothing?
You cut a little bit out, but that's all right.
Did I?
Yeah.
I didn't notice.
Moving with the times.
So. Well, you know,
people's attention spans are shorter. It's 2019. You know?
Exactly. When new man, new got, intro,
you
new everything.
10 seconds to capture someone's imagination. Otherwise, they're onto the next
one. I tried to capture it. And the man I was staring into the eyes of as I did that new intro, Aaron, welcome back.
Thank you, Morgan. It's great to be back. Haven't been in a room with you three for a very long time. So,
Have the three of us been in a room together?
We've been in adjacent rooms.
That's right. We couldn't actually be in the same room together at any point. You're right.
Aaron's been in quarantine, so we could go and visit him in his glass cell.
Yeah. But he's made podcasting quite hard.
He's finally been let out.
Yeah. I was on one of those phones with like a little talkie box through the plexiglass window.
Right. I mean, you can't be
terrible
too,
sound quality.
You can't be too careful when coming back from
Sweden, of course.
Yeah.
And lastly, the man that imprisoned him in that glass cell, Scott. Scott, how are you?
I'm well. It had to be done.
Oh, no, look, I'm aware. I mean, you were the one who was ballsy enough to, you know, subdue Aaron and put him into the glass cabinet.
I did it for the public.
Scott's kind of like a reverse bubble boy. Instead of him being in the glass capsule, everyone else
I put everybody
has
else
to be in the glass capsule.
Interesting.
He can move freely.
That explains a few things.
Yeah.
But no, look, it's good to be back. It's been a couple of months and...
Yeah, I've had a bit of a hiatus.
Yeah, I know people really missed us.
All took a sabbatical.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. All took separate sabbaticals.
Yeah, doing different things, soul searching.
Learn about them.
I thought salsa searching.
That's what I was doing.
Dancing.
Yeah. It is interesting that in the time that Aaron's been back in the country, we haven't recorded, but yet we still managed to get episodes done when you were out of the country. I don't know how we managed that, but...
Well, because he's been in a glass cell. We just...
Oh, of course. I'm sorry. We just talked about that. I mean, all the salsa searching has really damaged my short-term memory. So I forget things really quickly. So I apologize.
Yeah,
so
he said
salsa searching.
17% salsa.
Yeah.
Really messes with your brain functioning.
But we're back and we're doing Early Edition. For those who don't remember Early Edition, it was a mid-90s show with Kyle Chandler. Arguably the rich man's Ron Livingston. Some people would describe him the poor man's Ron Livingston.
I'm on the rich man's Ron Livingston.
I'm going to go as the poor man's Ron Livingston, and I will see where history lands on whose side. Oh, that makes sense.
Sure. Why not? I thought they were the same person until about half an hour ago. So,
which is incredibly similar. Sometimes they confuse each other.
Kyle Chandler will be doing a press conference for like a new movie. You start talking about Office Space and how much time he had on set and stuff. And he's like, oh, no, shit, that was
Ron Livingston.
That was Ron Livingston.
It was the other guy.
The other me.
Mm. But I was excited to do this. And it's one I know we've actually circled for a little while. And we finally sort of, decided it was probably the one that was worthwhile.
Aaron's
doing
been
first.
Agitating.
Yeah.
For it.
Yep, I really
I don't know if
we've
been circulating the show, but Aaron's definitely been pushing.
I'm out of the cell.
Yeah.
Now I'm getting what I want.
Yeah. That's the only show they had on this the cell's equivalent of
and
Netflix.
And how many episodes did they have in that cell? Was it just the first and the last?
It was.
You've
it
just
was.
Watched that repeatedly for
oh,
the last
yeah.
3 months.
I know it very well. In case you don't know the premise, it's very simple. Basically a guy gets the next day's newspaper delivered to him by a cat.
Mm.
So he's a day ahead, which we'll get into the first episode a bit more, but I mean, that is a very attractive premise in itself.
I really like it, and it was pretty exciting. I'm going to go early with a new segment that we're going to start penciling in, which I know we sort of toyed with in previous episodes, but what hasn't aged well? And I'll tell you what hasn't aged well on that TV show. Probably the premise. Because the newspaper is quite redundant these days.
Yeah, the 24-hour news cycle doesn't really allow for this kind of
format. No, it doesn't. But with that said, it still was a very, very fun show. So we'll do just a quick round table of what did you guys know about Early Edition before we actually watched it?
Nothing. I know it kind of launched Ron Livingston's career. He went on to literally nothing.
Yeah, okay.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, same
thing. I mean, I've heard of it now, but I'd never heard of it.
Are you saying that you were not familiar with it at all until we'd actually...
Not at all.
Okay, interesting.
Never... Yeah, you guys knew of it?
Yeah. I was aware of it. Like,
okay, I wasn't until I subscribed to the Sell Netflix, which for an extortionate $89.99 a month.
Wow. Yeah. And you get but two episodes of Early Edition.
I got my money's worth, don't worry.
Between the years of, I think, maybe 1999 and 2007, I was referring to this show just solely as the one where the guy gets tomorrow's newspaper delivered to him by a cat, but I couldn't find what it was.
Oh, really?
I had no idea what it was called.
Yeah.
Somebody told me in, like, I don't know, 2010 or something like that. And I was like, yeah, that show. Because I saw it when I saw a bit of it when I was a kid.
I remember being young and watching this. I remember being like a Saturday afternoon sort of show that would crop up on Channel 7 or Channel 9 from memory. But I also have, this one was also another one that was like got a fair rinsing on TV1 on Foxtel back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
One of those more obscure 90s shows because it had a 4-year run, which is pretty solid. 96 episodes.
What was TV1?
TV1 was like the channel that had Frasier and Seinfeld. Oh,
I thought it was like a show that reviewed TV shows.
No.
Like reruns galore.
Yeah, okay, sorry. It was one that got it.
It's just mid-90s American.
Yeah, mid-90s American television.
They loved showing the triple feature of the three Rambo movies.
Oh, did they ever? every
Sunday afternoon.
Not your groovy movie, Rambo, again?
All right.
Well, just back to back to back.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes they would just play the first one repeatedly.
Back to front, to back to front.
TV1, First Blood.
I feel like it's a premise that has appeared elsewhere before in media. I reckon I guess it's kind of what happens in Back to the Future a little bit. Like they get the sports almanac.
Yeah. So
it's kind of like a fully fleshed out version.
Sort of informational time travel.
Exactly, yeah. But I reckon that there's got to be like another...
Deja vu.
Yeah, well that, yeah. Well, what are they?
This time there's a cat.
What happens in that again? They get.
There's
back in time for a short window, or
yeah, and they can look at anything or something. They have
for like
some
4 days. Yeah, this is a whole other thing.
They can send.
It's like a wormhole or something.
They can send objects back and stuff. And then
wait. Yeah. I missed. What are we talking about here?
Deja vu.
Oh, deja vu. Sorry, the movie. Is that the one where like Denzel Washington's driving the car, and he's like half looking at the past, and then he's having to navigate in the future as well.
It's the best scene.
I remember watching like a whole documentary, like a 10-minute thing on something about that, and it was like, why is this so exciting? But I just don't care. I've never seen the movie. Mm. I thought I kind of zoned out, and I thought you guys were talking about sliders again. But I keep having dreams about it. But look, we can let's just step into episode one and get this ball rolling.
Early Edition kicks off with Gary Hobbs, a down-on-his-luck stockbroker, getting kicked out by his wife. He takes a room at a shitty hotel, where he's greeted at his door by a cat with the next day's newspaper. Now Gary is a day ahead with all the news.
Some guys have all the luck.
The Chicago Bull box scores, the ups and downs of the stock market, and various local mishaps.
Hey, what happened? You want to know? Read tomorrow's paper.
In this episode, he uses his newfound gift to cash in at the races, buy a guide dog for a blind co-worker, and foil a mass shooting at a bank.
The thing that struck me most about this show, and like I couldn't, once it sort of dawned on me, is that is a guy who plays Chuck, Fisher Stevens, who plays his best mate Chuck, who Jeremy, pre-episode, you pointed out that he's the same age as Kyle Chandler, which I find just...
Yeah, bonkers.
Completely mesmerizing.
He has
insanity.
Such a crazy 90s haircut.
It's so weird.
It's so weird. But he... Like,
it's like a slug of hair.
It's like a ball, but on the back.
Yeah. It's so bizarre. So much hairspray.
It's just so weird because they get like the weirdest looking person on the planet to play regular Chicago guy.
It's just like... He looks like kind of just like a regular...
He's
like a regular 90s stockbroker guy.
Well,
I don't know.
Like he's a decent actor. He's fine, but he just looks so strange. And it's just like it just seems really weird. Like, oh, we'll get this really weird looking guy to play a regular guy.
I'm sorry, Kyle.
He doesn't
Chandler.
Have that kind of range.
No, he does not.
He can't play regular.
Sorry,
guy.
Kyle Chandler doesn't hang out with exclusively handsome people.
Well, why? I would have liked it better if
I got some weird looking friends.
I would recast Fisher Stevens with Ron.
Are you looking at us?
The reason we do a podcast and not a TV show.
Audio format only.
Morgan, please finish that thought. I like where it was going.
So I want to recast Fisher Stevens with Ron Livingston. Just see how that plays
really
out.
Really confuse the shit out of
I
people.
Just would like to see how that would, like, if how history would be different if your Early Edition had Ron Livingston in it instead of Fisher Stevens.
It would take you like 3 seasons to work out which one's which. Yeah, but what I was saying before was he goes from basically just testing the knowledge to making a few cheeky bets on horses to like foiling, like he goes all in on the responsibility. I'm like, what's the cutoff point? If you're like, there's a bank hold up in Chicago, 9 people die. You're like, all right, I can get in there and stop that. What if like there's an earthquake in like some sort of third world country and like 100,000 people die?
Exactly.
Is this is like a local-ish newspaper, right?
Yeah, it's the Chicago Post. Or
which I think it's a big newspaper for that city, but it looks like they cover mostly...
domestic issues.
Yeah.
But if he goes to... because at the end of the episode, he leaves the hotel that he's staying at and then he goes to like to a cabin in the woods, right? Yeah. And then the cat turns up with the newspaper, which
I don't think
that cat's carrying that newspaper.
It's
clearly, they're just in the same place at the same time.
It's clearly a magic cat. Yeah, it's a magic cat. Get out of the way.
But like, if he's, let's say, in I don't know, like India, is the cat still going to deliver him the paper for the
like Chicago? Or does he get like the Mumbai Times?
Or
the whatever the local sort of town newsletter is for the local, that cabin in the woods area.
The local rag.
The leader.
Yeah.
I reckon it's...
Chicago-based?
No, I reckon it's centered around wherever he is.
Interesting.
That would make the most sense. Unless he's just unwillingly signed up to this sort of subscription service that Chicago Times have that no one's ever capitalized on. We're like, oh yeah, we'll just give you tomorrow's paper if you want.
That's
just an extra $2 a day.
That's an interesting business model. I'd like to say that.
They addressed it in the first episode when one of the things that prompted him to actually go intervene in the bank incident was the fact that he looked at the paper and after his coworker decided she was going to do something, in the paper it changed from 9 dead to 10 dead,
which
sort of prompted him, well, now I have to go do something, which I was wondering how his actions would affect his newspaper he's already got.
Does the cat have to deliver a reprint or is it?
I think the other one just changes.
Okay. Yeah. So that's the Back to the Future style of the photos changing.
Yeah.
So what would the front page change to after he foils the bank robbery? Local man sits on roof with other local man and they talk about life and stuff.
You think you're building something like a future or your family and then one day, you know, just like that, it's gone.
Yeah.
And the police chief is just like got like a wanton sort of thirst for blood where he's like, just shoot one of them. I don't care who. As soon as you get a clear shot, take it.
Dealer's choice. I just want blood.
First shot you get, take them out.
Which one?
How should I know?
Did you guys pick up on that?
The newspaper demands blood.
The sniper's just take one of them out.
But it's sniper. Straight to a sniper. He's like, all right, chief.
Whichever no one's ready to go.
At that stage there, he points at Ron Livingston. Kyle Chandler points out. Now, you got me saying it. He points out, because look, hey, we haven't really done anything yet. Like, you haven't actually done anything. Like, no one had seen a gun. They, as far as the police knew, it just the two guys got on the roof of the bank. And there's a sniper there ready to take them out.
So he goes in, and just as the guy, he sees the would-be murderer come in and
Tom
reach
Noonan
for the gun. Mm-hmm. And then what does he say? He's like,
I'm a man on the edge.
I'm a desperate man.
And then
all of a sudden the alarm's going.
I'm a desperate man.
Yeah. As soon as you say that in the bank, everyone freaks out.
Can we code word?
Can we talk about...
What if he's like, I'm a desperate man. I need to go to the bathroom. Where is it?
can we talk about the desperate man and Well, the wardrobe choice they've gone with there. Why did they make him look like a 1920s hobo?
He's down on his luck.
Yeah, clearly. Like, he's wearing like the real beat up like 1920s man hat, whatever they call it.
The Depression.
We'll discuss this when we get to the last episode, but they clearly like they've just got the wardrobe from some like 20s period piece and they're trying to retrofit it in.
I think that's just the Hallmark wardrobe.
That is
the
Hallmark wardrobe.
In the last episode, all the Irish people look like they're from the
Depression. I cannot wait
Depression.
To talk about the Irish
people. Anyway, we'll get there. But that was a bit of a weird point. Like, he's down on his luck.
He's a desperate man.
That the guy who plays that desperate man, Tom Noonan, who I'm sure you guys would have seen in other movies... He's just the creepiest looking man on the planet. And he's in an episode of Law and Order SVU, and I just can never look at it the same.
Did he do it?
Playing the villain?
Kind of. He ends up...
Does the episode position you to make you think that he did it?
Not exactly, but he does antagonize Stabler. Let's just say that much.
Ooh.
So
right, he's going down.
Yeah, don't worry, Stabler assaults him. And it's in the true professional fashion. That is every episode of Law & Order CU with Elliot Stabler. But anyway, this is we're talking about Early Edition, so let's
is
get back on topic.
The character that Ice-T plays?
No.
It's no, that's Chris Maloney.
He looks like an Elliot Stabler thing.
Yeah. What are you trying to say, Aaron?
The name fits.
Also, the time frames of this show seem a little bit all over the shop. Like, a lot happens
like
in
how
like,
long?
Well, a lot happens in like 3 days.
Yeah, you ever looked at the paper? Shit happens, man.
I mean,
evidently.
It would take you, like, how long if you got this paper and things like that started happening, how many events would it take for you to actually believe that you had tomorrow's paper? Because I would be very, very... I would assume that I was on some massive episode of Punk'd or living inside some Truman show.
Yeah,
if that was happening
for sure
to me.
Yeah. I mean, judging by the internal...
It'd take me like 3 weeks to...
The internal logic of the episode is you guess three... different sporting scores, right? And
that is it.
Yep. Yeah. Well, you get a soccer score, you get a college basketball score, and a regular basketball score. Boom, tick it off.
Fisher Stevens was on board.
I can predict the future now.
Mm. He was on board way faster than Kyle Chandler. He guessed like two scores, and he's like, "Oh my god, you have the next day's news. Give me all the information."
And
Kyle
it was
Chandler's
like 9:30 in the morning, and he's already in.
Makes you wonder.
He's
like,
all right, straight to the tab. Yeah. Let's roll. He's just a real problem gambler.
His personality has some issues.
Yeah.
If this thing is commonplace in Fisher Stevens' life, then like, what are the rest of his friends like? We've got all these other superpowers. He's like, oh yeah, no, this stuff happens to me all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you what's a very bold move in this episode. Just handing a blind woman $15,000 in cash on the train.
On a train, just in Chicago.
I can't take this, Gary. This is yours.
Now you can get the dog you've been waiting.
Gary, wait.
In the middle of Chicago.
She's getting mugged.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Just shoves it in her hands. Good luck.
She's just holding it.
I know.
Like,
it's
just not going to end well. Blind woman gets mugged on the train is the next newspaper.
Precise amount of money as well. She's like, I need $15,000 exactly for a guide dog.
But this
I just have this $15,000 right here.
I just want here. You need this. But that's what I'm saying about the time frames. Because she gets the dog the next day. And he's like, there's a whole process of training and familiarization.
Just
I'm pretty
go
sure
to the guide
to
dog.
Yeah.
Just pick one up.
Yeah.
German Shepherd as well. I don't think that's a guide dog.
How does that work?
Just sold her a dog.
Do you just eyeball the dogs? Or do you get like
$15,000.
I mean, she's blind. They're not getting... She's not going to know otherwise. Yeah, sure, this is a guide dog, lady. Whatever you want.
So she got fleece, is what you're saying?
Yeah, 100%.
So when she goes to the, what do you call it? I don't know what to call it. It isn't a tab. What do you call it in America? A betting.
Gambling
like
hole?
Betting the parlor?
Gambling
bookmakers.
Hole. Parlor, the bookies.
Yep.
And she's saying that she's putting $2 on a horse.
One bet, $2. Take a shot at a dream.
What horse's odds... When you put $2 on, it's going to give you a better life. Is it like...
presumably, she wants to get
15,000 to one.
Yeah. So one that's missing a leg.
So she's going $7,500 to one every time.
Like, that's like me running against the horse.
Yeah.
Like, it's about those...
Can I get some side action on that?
I'll take a little side action.
Yeah,
back me. I can take these horses.
Yeah. It actually died 2 weeks ago. But we're still going to run it. I mean, if you want to bet on it, I guess I'll give you $7,500 to one.
I mean, I do want a better life. It seems like the best option.
The show had a really positive, upbeat vibe about it the entire time, though. Just little things going on. Like, even you point, again, pre-show, Jeremy pointed this out, the moment when he first gets a paper and he's walking around, and there's a guy with a giant boombox walking down the street, listening to the weather.
As you do.
Today in Chicago is going to be beautiful.
I don't believe it. You're going to need an umbrella.
Zero chance of rain.
Grab your raincoat.
And he's in shows like this as well, they're always sort of really chummy with... people that they would barely ever
interact
cross
with.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like the newsstand guys, like his best mate outside of Fisher
Sherman.
Stevens. What would his wedding party look like if he got married?
Fisher Stevens, his best man.
And
they'd have to get a custom-made suit for him because of his weird body shape.
Newsstand guy who
newsstand
died
guy.
In a horrible accident.
Felicity Huffman. There's another guest star.
Unhinged guy.
Unhinged
guy.
Yeah, speaking of guest stars, we should mention Neil Flynn.
Neil Flynn as well, the janitor. Yeah, the cop.
Plays a cop.
You want to know? Read tomorrow's paper.
Oh, what a setup.
Singer.
If you're sort of like...
Premise, I love that bit because it's like when they say the title of a movie in a movie.
Yeah.
That's the premise of the show.
It's a very 90s thing to do.
That moment, if you are standing next to Kyle Chandler though, and that cop says, read it in tomorrow's newspaper... And then Kyle Chandler starts just like looking at the paper that he's currently got in his hand. The people next to him must be like, "This guy is not okay.
Yeah.
What's going on here?"
Dude, I like tomorrow's newspaper.
This is what I was thinking.
Well, not all newspapers are the same.
I also want to talk about the score of this show. Really upbeat, sort of Irish jiggy jibe to it.
Mm. A jiggy jibe?
Yeah. As soon as I said that, I need to point out what I said. I don't know. It was like
jiggy jibe is actually the most popular genre on Spotify at the moment.
Oh, so. Okay.
Yeah. So jokes on you.
Traditional trending
Irish folk music.
Mm. But yeah,
bit of foreshadowing maybe.
Had a very upbeat vibe to it. I really enjoyed it. Got me. I was all about it.
Shock. Yeah, and they sort of went for the real positive, like anyone can change their life kind of angle. Like,
yeah.
The first intro was like, what could you imagine if you could change the world? What would you do?
Yeah. Well, I'd go gambling.
Straight to the ponies.
You could do so well with that money.
Bet on wheat stock or whatever it was. Was it wheat?
Wheat was up 30 points, so he cashed in.
Is that how the stock market works? I don't know enough about it.
Yeah.
It's all wheat.
That's how the NBA, NBA works, at least. He's betting on that as well.
Yeah, yeah, true.
My favorite little bit of wisdom they dropped was at the end when he's doing his little outro monologue where he says,
"There are no explanations, of course, but that's nothing new. Magic's like life, mostly unexpected."
He's trying to figure out how the paper works. Yeah, just leaving us with that little nugget.
That's really poorly written.
Oh, yes.
For Hallmark. Like, who... So this show's made by... It's on the Hallmark channel
I think...
Was it in the first episode?
I get the sense this was probably... I think it was on... It would have been on one of the networks. I think NBC or CBS or something like that. But I imagine... And what happens with a lot of shows like this, when the shows cancel them, other networks like Hallmark and CW pick them up for another season or two. But I'd say with this, that second one would have just been a rerun because Hallmark would have the rights to it now because it's really, it's very family friendly, that show.
It's like a card in a show.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, it is.
Yeah, I mean, that's Hallmark.
Simple, yeah.
So imagine
Hallmark
would just
have
the rights.
Are there people who write for the cards and for the shows? Like, is that how Hallmark
it's
works?
Like, instead of being adapted from a book, it's adapted from a greeting card.
Yeah. Right.
Like, their premises are that simple and that ridiculous.
There's some ridiculous... Did you see... I saw a thing the other day that was like... It was a photo of Rihanna and someone else. And somebody on Twitter saw the photo and they were like, this looks like Rihanna is about to commit a bank heist and the person next to her is like the nerdy person who's going to help her get away with it.
Okay.
And apparently, like, that's been like optioned to be made into an actual film.
Like, so someone's tweet or something has been optioned into a film.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
What a world. Did they get
Hallmark started this? That's all I'm saying.
This is not what Kyle Chandler wanted. If he was alive today, if only to see what he'd created.
Tweets from 20 years in the future. What would you do?
You could totally recreate this show just with like tweets or something. See what Donald Trump would tweet tomorrow or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
Very good deal. Great deal.
Wow. Bad.
Yeah. I'm not a good impressionist.
No, I was just following your lead. Yeah. So mine was even worse.
All right. So that should wrap us up for the first episode. How about we make our way to the end and check out what happened?
The series finale of Early Edition takes a strange new direction. Gary now owns and operates an Irish-style pub amongst his superhero duties. One afternoon, he decides to cut off one of the locals, who has a well-overdue bar tab.
Is it that much now? Oh, dear me.
Dear, you is right.
Quigley warns Gary against doing this, telling him it's bad luck to cut off a Quigley. Shortly after this, while out trying to save someone at a train station, Gary gets tangled up with an Irish woman named Kate, and he's then forced to pose as her fiancé.
You don't know?
No!
Then who's Gary?
He's the man I'm going to marry.
Kate's family begin to arrive in droves for the wedding and begin to drink Gary's pub dry.
Oh yeah, top of the morning, Gary.
All the while, Kate is searching for a man that she is in love with, but as it turns out, he doesn't know who she is. While all this is happening, an immigration agent who is chasing her reveals that he is a long-lost childhood sweetheart of Kate's, and Gary is now off the hook. And that is the end of Early Edition.
I tell you, that show really changes. There's a significant drop-off from the quality of 1 to 96.
Well, I would have thought the the problems within each episode would sort of grow in scale And like the stakes would progressively get higher, but it just basically
like you'd be preventing nuclear war or something.
Yeah, yeah. Like you'd think that would be the natural progression of the show. Maybe if they weren't clearly facing sort of cancellation and getting their budget cut, which I'm sure must have happened because this is basically a bottle episode.
Mm. How can we set it in a bar?
Yeah. I just thought that would be what happens because like as he slowly gets better at, I don't know, but it's just like, what is he? He runs and he ruins this woman's day by trying to save some kid on the subway.
Yeah.
And he doesn't
so
have
he takes her dollar. Which was
literally
her...
takes her last dollar.
Yeah. Runs up and takes it out of her hands.
Her last dollar. Her like that's usually just a turn of phrase. Like, oh man, I'm down to my last dollar. She's literally holding her last dollar trying to buy
She something. Doesn't fight for that last dollar very hard either. No. Really just lets him take it.
Also, she's spending it on a lottery ticket.
Yeah.
Probably not the best idea.
Yeah. But yeah, but she went on to win, Scott.
Which is a problem that he can so easily solve.
Yeah, he'd be like, oh, then you want to win tomorrow's
right,
lottery?
Right, I'll give you $1 million, come back tomorrow. It's fine. I'll never have to see you again or your stereotypically Irish family.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So this stereotypical.
So bad.
But none of them were Irish because they're especially the brother. His accent wavered a lot. They had like the flat caps and like
the bowler's caps.
Lots
of
layers of like brown clothing.
Yeah, yeah.
Just looked
straight
like
out of the
Irish
potato
peasants,
famine.
Yeah.
Couple of pipes.
They looked like Irish peasants.
Old man.
It's the late 90s.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Old man dressed as like a leprechaun smoking a pipe in the corner.
It was so offensive. Like, if this was about a non-English
Chicago
speaking,
as well, of all
race,
places.
Any not like non-Caucasian race would be
off the air so fast, even in the 90s. Mm. But it was unbearable.
Fancy pint, Karen?
Am I not breathing? You'll have one with me.
Oh, that's okay. I've got some things I need.
I was informing, not asking. 3 pints of Irish stout. Put them correctly.
Why does he run a pub?
Yeah, he must have
decided. How many shows have we watched that just end with people owning pubs?
I want to say all of them.
I mean, there's two broke girls. They have a pub.
Home Improvement.
Dawson's,
he buys a pub.
Does he?
Does he?
No, he doesn't buy a pub. He moves his house to Michigan.
Dawson's Creek.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
Dawson's
he owns a restaurant.
Yeah. Pacey's got the bar.
Baywatch Nights. He has
With the bar.
Yeah.
No, didn't they buy Nights in the end?
Yeah. So that's one.
Draining Sorrow. Nights.
Anyway, so all of them is the answer.
Yeah, I think exactly. It's just I don't know. It seems maybe like a way to write in storylines that...
Yeah. It does kind of make sense here if he's doing what he's doing. Like, day to day, he's out there saving people by reading the paper. This would be a good way to earn money and not have to really...
he could be
money.
Like...
Yeah, more. So he could just bet.
He
could make 4 bets in a row of increasing size. Like, bet $20 on something and then win, say, 10 grand. Yeah, bet that 10 grand or something. And then bet that, like, $2.5 million.
He's trying to be an honest guy.
Figured that out on the first day.
Yeah.
He got the paper, and now he's running a pub.
Or just,
With his winnings, he probably just bought the pub and decided, I'm going to earn an honest living, not just have to bet every day.
He could equal about...
He's probably been banned from every...
But he's a stockbroker. Like, there'd be an easy way to weave it in.
Just filter your money through somewhere...
Okay. Look, anyway.
I reckon it's Marissa, his blind coworker, who's they've teamed up now. Like, she's so straight and narrow,
keeping
good,
him grounded,
God-fearing Christian that she doesn't want any gambling, even though she was betting on the horses. This doesn't make any sense.
Okay,
this theory.
Okay, it's a bad theory. Let's just say it's still
why isn't he betting?
But he would equal about 4 Bruce Waynes by this point if he used that power properly.
To
he
gamble.
Could be doing so much good, but also. Yeah,
but
not having to work in a
instead
pub.
He's just focusing on like small accidents of a woman getting hit by a car and someone
getting stiffed by people that don't want to pay for beer in his pub. Like, what do you care?
No pints and no discussion. Now listen, Quigley, I'm cutting you off.
At this point, it doesn't matter. Like, people die. You can save one person, someone else is going to die.
What I mean.
It's such small scale things.
He's probably kind of jaded.
Because at some point, he's going to run up and try and save somebody from like getting hit by a truck and he's going to miss him by that much. And he's just going to be covered in blood.
There's a comical...
It's not going to end up as the same person on the other side.
There's a comical sequence where his would-be fiance's brother sees him do like 2 things in a row where there's like an old lady. He looks at the paper. There's an old lady getting pushed along. And then whoever's pushing her loses grip and she's like going on the...
That was hilarious, by going the way. On the they just shove her into oncoming traffic.
Yeah, going into oncoming traffic and there's a truck coming. He saves her and then from the truck, as it's like skidding to stop, a beer barrel rolls out, and then there's a priest crossing the road in the other direction, and it's like, I don't know what, like,
all the cornerstones of Irish society.
Yeah, priests, old ladies, beer. I don't know what the worst case scenario would be, like knock him in the leg and probably trip over a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's like a keg rolling towards him. He's like, oh, Father, look out.
And then the man's a saint.
He runs over. Yeah. And then
the brothers. Like, that was bad enough that they did it. But then the brother actually points it out. He's like, you're the best man. You saved the priest, saved the beer. Let's get you a pint. You can marry my sister. It's like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I'll introduce yourself to Gary. Gary, here's Michael. Sean, Patrick, Thomas, Francis, Bridget, Siobhan. We'll sort it out later. Let's have a toast. Get Gary a pint.
St. Gary.
What are they calling Gare? Gare.
I want to quickly just jump back to the start of this episode where basically all the bad luck unfolds because he cuts off like an old man, a really tiny old man for that matter.
Yeah, a leprechaun.
He's a leprechaun.
Well, quickly a leprechaun. Yeah, he cuts him off and says, like, the last time someone cut off one of my relatives, yeah, the Hindenburg happened.
That's ridiculous. Now listen.
Would that it were. I myself was last cut off in a pub in the late summer of 1969. And for Chicagoans, if ever there was a tragedy to be avoided.
Now listen, you did not cost the 69 Cubs a National League pennant.
Lord, not me. The man who stopped me tap.
Which is completely insane. But like, let's just that aside for a moment. So he comes in and says, like, you can't cut a Quigley off. He's $600 in the hole at this bar, which by inflation, it's probably run up like a $3,000 bar type or whatever.
Yeah.
But
he's drinking like 10 pints a day.
But he points out at one stage, he goes, oh, my father back in New Jersey in 1930, essentially nailing down going, my father who was here in 1930 means I am born an American. He's an American and has been there his entire life, has this really thick Irish accent and acts like he's Irish. Like, you're not. You were born in the East Coast of America and somehow you're just claiming all this stuff.
To be fair, he is a leprechaun.
Yeah.
They never lose their accent.
Yeah.
All got involved about like killing the INS agent.
Yeah, can we talk about that?
Oh yeah, let's talk about that.
Whoa.
That's the insanity of that.
So the woman that he screws out of the lottery ticket is here in America illegally, and there's an INS agent trying to track her down. Which obviously
INS being like the immigration. What does it stand for? Anyway,
yeah,
like, immigration naturalization services or something like that.
Working for border security.
Yeah. So he's trying to track her down. And once the family get wind that someone's after their sister, they basically try to murder him.
Yeah. Mm. Quigley stands behind him and does like a little motion to the brother let's knock this guy off.
Yeah.
Like, whoa.
And they dump him in a dump truck. And he just goes to get pushed into landfill.
So Carl
alive
Chandler,
though? They dump him there alive?
Alive.
He gets the paper and sees INS agent found in city dump. It's like, holy shit, they've just murdered this guy.
Yeah.
But wait, would they throw him alive in the...
I guess they knocked him out. Put him in the dumpster.
Yeah,
at the
I don't
back.
Think they were intent. I don't think they were intending to kill him.
They were just hoping that he'd be.
They were just
alive.
Hoping that chances were pretty high that
don't
he would
want
die.
Him to be alive
that,
anymore.
They could just dump him somewhere, and hopefully the fate would take care of it, and he'd end up in landfill.
And also, when Carl Chandler runs off to go chase, I can't remember exactly what he's doing, but then they chase after him. They run out in the middle of the road, hijack a bus, Grand Theft Auto.
Steal a city bus.
These people have been drinking since 6 a.m. Assumably they're plastered, just driving this massive bus.
Whole family gets on.
These people are going away for decades.
Also, they're driving a city bus in Chicago, one of the biggest metropolises in the U.S., and they're from like Country Island and presumably never driven a bus in their life and out of control drunk.
They don't need to know.
Find the city dump, find it. And
They chase the taxi.
But anyway, taxi by the stage.
Yeah,
they chase
him
there, it's long gone.
He just ran out on his sister.
Anyway,
there's all a misunderstanding she goes through like three different crushes in the one episode. There's like the guy, she's completely insane as well.
She's
batshit crazy. The guy that looked at her once, she's like falls in love with him and chases him across the world.
Nigel.
And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm married. Sorry, I just looked at you on the train. Yeah, something on your face. Kyle Chandler. And then the INS agent at the end, when they rescue him from the dump truck, he's like, I'm also in love with you.
No.
Yeah, I spent summers with you in Ireland when I was 10 years old. Yeah.
Let's just go back to the family trying to murder him, them stealing the city bus, tracking him down, going to kill Kyle Chandler. And then all of that happens. The dump truck's about to slide him into landfill and he's certain death. He just comes to magically with this giant makeup welt on his head.
Yeah.
And he's just so...
I was... Was that...
Kate?
I was...
He's so fine with the fact that they tried to kill him.
I was trying to work out...
Why would you want to marry into this family?
Yeah, absolutely that's the real not, question. Yeah. If Kyle Chandler, she would go, hey, no, you just...
Kind of shitty...
Deport her right now.
Kind of shitty standard definition. You know, it's an older show.
Yeah.
Trying to work out, was it a welt or was it meant to be like a piece of trash that was stuck to his head? Like a bit of chewing gum or something.
Bit of both.
That's what it looked like.
It's on the Hallmark Channel, which is constantly soft lens as well.
So. Yeah.
This episode was so offensive.
Yes.
Like, so they're just smashing pints of Guinness at 6:30. Oh, and he's like, what are you doing? I just woke up. He's like, oh, it's midday in Dublin.
Yeah.
And they're just down a pint.
But they're there for a wedding. Like, that's...
Let's get on it.
That'd probably happen here.
I also like the fact that, yeah... Actually, no, I want to talk about the beer pours. They pour, like, the glasses, like, a third the way up and just, like...
Isn't that how you pour Guinness?
No, it's not how you pour Guinness. Oh, just real batshit crazy stuff like that. Like, actually, that's probably not the worst. That's not even the worst thing that happened. I'm so keyed up here about how insane the whole thing is. But he puts away the Irish stouts. Irish stouts. Now he's got me saying it.
Well, it's Irish stouts the style.
Yeah. I just don't like the way he orders that though.
Yeah.
Just give me a stout. It's probably still better than what happened in our inaugural episode with David James Elliott going up to a bar and go, I'll get a draft beer.
All right,
I'll still accept that it's better than that. But
in terms of like realism of beer order,
yeah.
This is kind of your area of expertise.
Can we please go into a bar one day I'll just get a draft beer.
I just want to see
what the response is.
Which draft beer? Oh, just an Irish stout.
Yeah.
3/4 field, please.
Yeah. Lots of head, as is possible as well.
As long as we order it at 6:30 a.m.
Exactly. I do want to swing back to the show just for one last thing, and that is when Kyle Chandler's mother, Gary's mum, rocks up to freaking out about the shotgun wedding, and then it's like, oh, it's because the baby's due, and then he goes, no, it's all a sham. They sit down for 10 minutes, and then she walks off, comes back, goes,
Mary or Gary.
What?
Marry her.
She's a nice girl.
You're never going to get another chance.
I want grandchildren. Like, what are you projecting onto me? This seems to be completely non-issue. But like, I could not imagine, like, after everything had transpired, nothing could be possibly worse than Gary Hobson marrying into that family.
I mean, she's right though. Like, if you have literally the world in the palm of your hand and you can't find someone, you got to take it where you can get it.
Like Morgan said, marrying into that family would just drive him to financial ruin within 2 or 3 days because
he's got not all only the money in the world to spend.
Using his credit card, they'd still do it. They're drinking constantly for free at his pub.
Mm.
He can't even find someone when he's got access to like all the classified ads a day before as well.
It's true.
He can call these lonely women before they've even posted the ad.
Oh man, there's a dark pathway in this. The show just could have gone down.
This is your reboot.
This is
thought about it.
God, it's better than that. That now that we can flesh that out, that'd be creepy as.
Yeah.
Just like that's if he's like a serial killer or a stalker, and he just got ads the day before.
Yeah.
New ones coming up. So before they went out, he could then track the person down.
And that would be such a Hallmark thing. I reckon that happened in an episode.
You reckon?
Yeah. Like that's such a Hallmark thing to do as well. Like you're like your secret love. You knew me all along.
Yeah. Mm. So you get love at first sight. So now you get that first and then track them down.
Yeah.
Mm. If the show was not
track
on
them down is the right term.
No, but like stalk them. And
that's the romantic way to phrase it.
If this show was on
me down,
if the show was on Time Life and not on Hallmark, that's how it would go down. Have you guys familiar with the work of Time Life?
No.
Well, because I mean, there's an alternate reality where the cat drops a newspaper on just some sick individual's.
Yeah, that's what we're saying.
Yeah.
And so
the Captain Pollution situation of this show.
Time Life is like another channel in the US where it's like all those like overly dramatic, the live-in babysitter, those sort of movies. So, like that's those ones. In that reality, early edition goes there. Season 5 would have been real weird.
Yeah.
If this show was remade now, it'd be interesting to see what they did with it because you wouldn't make that shows like this level of wholesome and
they would give it to a teenager first of all.
Yep.
It'd be on their phone.
It'd be something to do with social media.
It'd be like you can see tweets or like, posts or something from
God added me on Facebook.
What?
That's a premise for a TV show that came out recently.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you were pitching it.
No, I'm not. I'm just lifting something I saw. There's a show like God added me, and it's like
oh, as in like
Literally God.
Yeah, add him on Facebook.
Okay, because there's a God.
Yeah, God friended Facebook. Me.
Okay. God friended me, yeah. So, but except this is not the case. It would be, you just get tweets. Maybe you get tweets 24 hours before, you know, you see them. But your Twitter cycle is 24 hours ahead of everyone else's.
Yeah.
Well, that'd be so stressful. Cause you'd be, oh, Jesus Christ, it'd just be, it'd be going off.
There's so much stuff that you could just not do a thing about. Like, generally, news isn't stuff that it is reporting on some disaster that came up out of nowhere the day before that could have been averted. It's like a progression of big stories.
In this as well, there was a full page article about a guy in a newsstand where a car crashed into it and he got injured. Like, that just wouldn't, that probably wouldn't even make the paper anymore. Like, the news.
I just want to do a short exercise. So, looking at, say, the Herald Sun, what would you guys have done if you had have heard some of this news?
How many of these are going to be opinion pieces?
We'll find out. What would you have done if you heard this news yesterday? Ned's brave fight with cancer ends in peace. What are you doing?
Wow.
Shit.
Headlines also aren't what they used to be.
Yeah,
just well, that's true.
Ned, I have no idea what that story is about.
Ned who?
It looks like a little boy
passed away. Shit.
Okay, so not much we can do there.
Well, cancer. Yeah, just prevent bank robberies.
24
get
hours.
Get to the bank robbery.
Maguire steps aside after coin toss gaffe. You're going to stop Eddie Maguire from saying something stupid?
That's something
can't be done.
I think it's possible
because he's just going to back it up with something else stupid.
That's a full-time job.
What did he say, by the way? What was the?
We can save that for our sister podcast, Footy Biff.
Okay, fair enough.
People can read about it, but it wasn't all that bad. These are all opinion pieces. Forget the school bus. This kid goes by speedboat.
What do I do about that?
This is real hard-hitting news for the Herald Sun.
Maybe we should go to The Age.
Go meet that kid. Where does he live where he can get to school by speedboat? Miami?
This is what they want,
Jeremy. Maybe Chicago. I don't know.
I guess, aren't there canals in the Gold Coast?
Yeah, possibly.
Okay.
All right. I mean, there's the Yarra River.
Okay.
I tried to click on the article.
Are you allowed to just speed?
That's problem. You got to give the cat money now. Not that the paper was free. He's getting the paper for free every day as well, right?
It's a good deal.
He lives in a hotel.
What's the
maybe
cat
it's part
actually
of the
doing? Like, apart from just being like a bit of iconography for mysterious things.
Yeah,
like,
because it's not a dog.
Is there an episode where this cat like needs to go to the vet or something? Or is it,
probably,
is it immortal?
I think it's. I think it's magical.
That's definitely an episode.
Then the paper doesn't show up. It brings the paper.
Yeah, but then what does he do?
What if it brings him like a different type of paper?
Like
a different thing?
Like a stack of A4 printer paper. Reflex. Super wide or something.
No, more like
the trading post.
Yeah, bring it into tomorrow's trading post.
Get some sweet deals on like some excess lumber.
Get in early before, because otherwise he'd just be going through and they'd be like, sorry man, someone bought up earlier. You could be that guy.
You would always get the best deals.
You haven't even posted it, but I'll give you cash right now. I'll pick it up today.
I just had this inkling that you'd be selling this old wooden table.
Calling at 5:30. There's definitely somebody out there who's getting early access. Knows somebody who works at the training post to get early access so they can call for all the good stuff.
Except for the fact that the training post doesn't really exist anymore.
Oh, it does.
There'd definitely be like 60-year-old blokes who just absolutely love the trading post.
That, it would be thriving.
Just old dudes trading old farm equipment.
Yeah, pretty just nice. Been the same equipment going around for the last 50 years.
Yeah. Crazy. 30-year-old lawnmower. Yeah.
Trading post, starts. First share economy.
Well, we kind of went off topic there for that final episode, but it was, I think we said all we could possibly
it's
say.
It's still more coherent than the episode itself.
Yeah, that's true.
To be sure.
That was a bad episode.
It was really bad. It was really bad. I get the feeling with that show that I think the first season probably had some pretty good stories and maybe it built in. There was a couple of, as you said, about the stakes got higher and higher. I imagine it probably happened there in that first episode and there would have been a bit of a cliffhanger. And I have this vague memory.
First season, you mean?
Yeah. Mm. I have this vague memory of an episode where his dad rolls into town and helps him out with a bunch of mysteries.
Okay.
Mysteries, news articles. All over the shop today. So I don't know. So that would have been, the stakes would have elevated.
It would have culminated in him stopping a plane crash or something.
Yeah, something.
Yeah. That would have been.
Yeah, that's probably that's biggest the height of.
Or maybe he meets somebody who gets next week's newspaper or something. He's got to come up against them.
Then that's why he just retires to the pub.
Would you say that character was?
I'm out.
So the person who would have got the next week's newspaper, for argument's sake, he would have had, let's say, someone like Ron Livingston.
I think so. I think that's fair.
I mean, if I was casting for the show, then
I reckon the peak might have been like maybe the president comes to town and there's like an assassination attempt or something.
Oh yeah,
it's gone down that
route. That's pretty high stakes.
Yeah.
Who do you reckon's playing the president?
Ron Livingston.
Not something like a meteor. Perhaps the meteor is played by Ron Livingston. Like, just face. Hurtling towards Earth. That's probably too high stakes.
Maybe.
Do you think... Have you guys ever seen...
And also, if a meteor hits Earth, there wouldn't be a paper the next day.
Have you
got to think this through.
Have you ever seen that episode... Oh, not episode. Have you ever seen that YouTube video clip of...
That episode of YouTube.
Yeah, that episode of YouTube. No, that YouTube
Morgan
clip.
Morgan's seen it all.
Yeah, gets it the day before as well.
I get YouTube videos the day before they come out. No, it's the cat... Like, Ron Livingston's dressed as a cat playing the piano. Have you seen that before?
I have not.
Well, anyway, my theory is that they actually originally cast Ron Livingston to play the cat in the show. Got beaten out by an actual cat, and that's why he made this. I'll show you guys later, off air.
That theory makes perfect sense.
It does.
Playing the jiggy jive.
Playing the jiggy jives. Ah! Can we step out of this and move into reboot?
Yeah, it's a Ron Livingston... everyone knows the famous video of the cat playing the piano. It's in like a blue shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Ron Livingston in that cat's role. The role of a lifetime.
Oh, great.
Wow.
I haven't seen that episode.
That episode of YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, let's reboot this bad boy.
Who's up first, Jez?
I'll go first. Mine's pretty short and sweet, but it's based off real life events
that happened to you.
Happened to me. Yeah. So yesterday, I went to the supermarket, purchased some eggs as you do, and I was putting my eggs into. We've got a little egg holder in the fridge. You know, like
bullshit.
One of those trays where it's got the little.
Oh really?
Put them all in there. Yeah. So we put the eggs in the egg holder because it's kind of nice. Cold eggs.
It's fucking outrageous.
Outrageous. Yeah. I'm living a life of luxury. It's definitely better than Morgan's fridge, that's for sure. And I dropped one, and as I was trying to get that one, I don't know what I was trying to do because it's already smashed. You're sort of like a bit of shock. Oh damn! And I dropped another one.
No. Mm.
And it got me thinking: what if there was a way that someone could predict egg-based accidents/incidents and stop them from ever happening? So it's called. The early edition. And every day, Ron Livingston or Kyle Chandler, whoever's available on the day. The premise of the show is they get a newspaper, probably more of a newsletter, that just chronicles all of the egg-based incidents of that day. So if anyone dropped an egg somewhere, someone got egged.
Just for you or?
Oh, no, everywhere.
Okay.
Someone like goes to cook an egg. You know, sometimes you cook an egg and you don't realize it's a bad egg. Get some shell in there, ruin your cake, ruin your whatever.
We're seeing, I tell you what's funny about that, some real life implications recently.
Yeah,
I mean, I think
Fraser Anning would
had
be signed
exactly
up.
Early edition, he could have.
Yeah, Kyle Chandler.
Oh, he'd sign up today.
Oh, yeah.
Kyle Chandler would have been there and dived in front of the egg. Yeah, so the early edition.
All right.
Early edition.
Yep.
What kind of eggs is this limited to?
Any egg.
Actual chocolate eggs?
Yeah, well, if you have
egg.
A... Like
Fabergé
a
egg.
We've got Easter's just around the corner.
Chocolate egg mishap.
What about an Fabergé egg? What about an egg mishap. When you kick a basketball too hard?
And you get an egg in it. Yeah. Kyle Chandler would be there to prevent that from happening.
take the kick.
What about...
Just in the gut.
I'm desperately trying to think of other types
Just as a kid's about to kick a basketball.
Oh, Executor.
Yeah, you're going
to... If you lose in battle.
Yeah,
you're playing Pokemon Stadium and you're about to lose.
Enter Carl Chandler.
Yeah. And he's kind of like, what's the Pokemon that's got like the rolled up newspaper?
No.
No, he's got a Ron leak. Livingston. Sorry, he's got a leak.
A leak?
I always get them confused.
A rolled up newspaper.
Oh, Farfetch?
Yeah, it kind of looks like a rolled up newspaper.
Farfetch?
Yeah, it's Farfetch.
Yeah.
Does, oh yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's got a leak.
Yeah,
my mind went to Marrowbone, but he's got bones.
Marowak?
Marowak.
Marrowbone.
Bone marrow?
Is there a Marrowbone?
No, it's Marowak and
Marrowbone. He's his next level.
I think
it's Marrowbone.
Who evolves into who out of Carl Chandler and Ron Livingston?
Well, it depends who you ask.
I think it's more like when you get a Digimon and you've got an egg and you don't know which one's going to come out of it. That sort of thing.
That's when egg. You use the That's the when you use
Evolves from Cubone.
Cubone.
Ah, right.
Makes sense. 100% Livingston involves it to Chandler.
Okay. I would disagree. Right.
You would be wrong.
Trying to devolve your
0%
your Chandler one.
Well, I'll jump into my one if you don't mind, Aaron.
I know you've got a reboot, so carry on.
So my one is not so much a reboot as much as it's a retooling, because I feel like this show could have gone for a fifth season, but just taking a different direction. So maybe recast Kyle Chandler with Ron Livingston, up the profile slightly. But essentially, we're just basically going on from that last episode, which was disastrous, and that basically the family, that Irish family, stays and keeps hanging out at the pub all the time, and so it's Quigley's hanging out there, and
yeah, fuck Quigley.
Not only that, like,
it's the worst.
It's cost, Kyle Chandler's it's cost him a lot of money, so he's just it cost him a lot of money, and this whole thing he's just sort of fed up with it, so he just starts hanging out and working at the pub, real jaded, and just now people start coming to him with the problems from the paper. But he's just really annoyed and angry all the time because these people have just driven him to the edge. So he's just become real grouchy, unhappy, and it's just basically people coming in trying to get problems solved and him just going telling people to get lost in no uncertain terms. And it's just episode to episode of increasing disasters, and he's just refusing. He's just really grouchy and refusing to
meddle in.
It's called Surly Edition.
That is where it's going for sure.
Oh yeah,
being around those people for a moment, and then
eventually piece by piece those people disappear until it goes back to early edition for season 6.
End up in landfill.
Yeah, they end up in landfill.
All in landfill. Not even their bodies, them in landfill.
Kyle Chandler's
chucking
them in
the back of a garbage truck, as is the traditional way to perform a hit in Ireland.
Maybe as a twist to that, during that that's because he's so angry and surly all the time. He separates. So there becomes two of him, and the second one will be played by Ron Livingston. The Ron Livingston one murders all the
this
Irish family.
This is the optimal version of the show.
I agree.
The version where we can get both of them in.
Yeah. It's the dream, really.
Fit the law.
So that is Surly Edition. I'm glad we sort of gave that a bit of extra padding as well. That was nice.
Yeah, yeah. You jumped the gun a bit there, Morgs. I actually don't have a reboot.
Oh, do you?
No. We sort of dabbled in it a little bit earlier with him getting into the classified ads.
Oh, right, that.
Yeah, but that was a bit too dark to flesh out, so
yeah,
I didn't really
I would be so interested to see, because I feel like that would be the reboot. If it was a show was to be rebooted, that would be the reboot.
A dark
version.
Like a dark comedy or like dark?
I think dark.
We're talking
dark.
Like Dennis Reynolds or someone else?
Well, like you said, AMC.
Which one is which? How do you say that? Is that dark or dark comedy?
That's dark comedy.
Kyle Chandler's the one in this show, and Ron Livingston's the one from Office Space. Is that when you're asking which one's which? So yeah, I assume that's what you're asking.
Whenever I ask that question, that's what I mean.
Yeah. Ron Livingston's the one with the cat video. Kyle Chandler's the one in Wolf of Wall Street.
But if
I don't know why you would ask that while Aaron's trying to explain his reboot, but
it was inappropriate. I apologize.
I always like how you pause. Then Aaron talks, then you jump in. Give him a false sense of security, like he's going to have a clear run.
Do I have a clear run now? Jez looks busy. He looks distracted.
Go now, quickly.
If we are done with reboots, we can jump into the IMDb list of the week.
Oh, I'd love that.
Ooh.
Welcome back, Aaron Boughton.
Very good to be back. So I've gone with a list. Oh, this is a challenging name. By HH Gonzalez-59467.
Doesn't need to be that many digits.
No, maybe there were that many HH Gonzalez's. His list, or their list, is casting for Knuckles' voice in Sonic the Hedgehog 2019 movie.
Oh.
Is there actually
a Sonic movie.
Is it live
out.
Action?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, I think I saw this. Everyone was outraged about what Sonic looked like because his eyes
it looks
weird.
Pretty weird. But no, in the cast list on IMDb.
Is he like, he's a hedgehog though?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know why I was imagining some sort of weird deviant art anthropomorphic monster looking thing. Anyway.
Well, as much as Sonic is a hedgehog.
Yeah, he's not
in the
really
first place.
A hedgehog. Mm. It's not like Mr. Red where they've just got like a hedgehog.
No.
Because actual hedgehogs are a lot less impressive looking than Sonic.
They're not that quick.
Not really blue.
No. Mm. So this person has selected 827 options who could play Knuckles.
How many?
Sonic
sorry,
that's too many.
827.
You can't accuse them of not being thorough.
They've been very thorough, and they've gone with quite a range. We've got
you'd have to.
Not 827 of the same like character actor. Vin Diesel, Dwayne Johnson, Danny McBride, Seth Rogen, Hugh Jackman.
What?
Depends where you want to take the character,
Hugh
I guess.
There's a lot of options. Robert Pattinson, Hugh Laurie, Chris Pratt, Paul Rudd.
So he's just Mike Myers. He's listed every male actor.
You want Ben Kingsley? He could do it. Ben Kingsley.
There's a certain comedic streak.
Peter Dinklage. Morgan, one for you. Kevin James.
Oh. Great.
So, who do you want? Ray Romano? He's in there. Dennis Leary.
Jerry Stiller an option?
Probably. My favorite juxtaposition might be Jermaine Clement or Kevin Hart. You
wow.
Yeah, both sort of, kind of overlap a fair bit in their roles. Yeah.
Nick Cage is even in here. And somewhere amongst this list is Carl Chandler.
Do you reckon Ron Livingston's in there as well? I would say so.
Yeah.
I'm going to just answer my own question and say yes, I'd say it's likely.
David Spade, yes.
Oh, yeah, he could do it. I hear Knuckles the Echidna is a real piece of shit. David Spade plays that pretty well.
Anyway.
There you go.
That's who's playing Knuckles. Maybe they'll just get... Knuckles can have 827 words in the script and get one word per.
I thought you meant record the lines and just play all of them.
that's what I thought you meant. They're just going to blend all their voices together.
Play them all over the top of each other. It just sounds like...
But all like just out. So it's like a huge echo. Every line is just long as hell.
And he gets one line for the film and it goes over the course of the entire film. just scream.
It's like
interesting
that
film.
Oh man,
Joe Rogan. Have you seen that? The video of all the Joe Rogans talking, and then they sync up for one phrase, and then they all go out of sync again.
that sounds very confusing.
It's entirely possible that they have dual consciousness.
Look it up.
Yeah,
it was last week's episode of YouTube.
If anyone's listening along at home and wants to experience it as well, it's called Joe, It's Entirely Possible Rogan. Yeah.
Right, that's kind of like a teaser for the new Sonic movie.
Pretty much, yes. Yeah. I think that's the trailer.
All right.
Okay, well, it has been fun talking about Early Edition, but we should probably leave it there. But before we do, final thoughts on this one. What do we think? Did we enjoy it? Would we go back and watch any of it?
It was enjoyable and interesting. Probably wouldn't go back.
Mm. Definitely not going back. I think there would be some funny sounding plots, but...
But you don't trust them to deliver.
In actuality, they'd be
pretty
boring.
Poorly executed. Yeah. Nothing Hallmark is worth your time.
And if anything is as offensive as that final episode, it's not going to be a fun watch.
If it ends up on one of the streaming services down here, I might watch some of the episodes from the first season, but see how long
we can borrow my login to the Glass Cage.
I can. I can watch the first and last over and over again.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, they said I drink out of a toilet then.
they said the second episode's coming on next year. So.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. I'm gonna hang out in the glass cell at Scott's
basement. You
gotta
up the subscription level, but you know,
$1,000 a month.
Yeah.
Perfect. It was that first episode I enjoyed. Last one was just absolute trash, but that's not uncommon. I think we just leave it there. Aaron, it's great to have you back. And
great to be back.
Jeremy, I mean,
yeah,
nothing's really changed.
It is what it is.
Scott, you know, about the same. but where can people find us on social media?
We are The Incomplete Series on Facebook. We are Podcast TIS on Instagram.
No, we're not.
On Twitter. The Incomplete Series on Instagram.
Correct.
And we are theincompleteseries.com. Mm-hmm. Yeah, look up The Incomplete Series. You'll find us.
You'll find us. Google it.
If you don't find us, you'll find someone else who's obviously got great taste in naming things. And they're probably worth a like and subscribe as well. But also, give it to us. Subscribe?
Yes.
Think like.
Consider it.
Things do on our platforms? You can like. You can like our...
I would prefer them... If they just like us in real life.
Yeah,
just
like
feel that
us.
Emotion
just
towards
offline.
Us.
Offline. Mm. Generally
we don't need to know about it.
In the more traditional meaning of the...
offline
of the,
likes.
Of the word, yeah.
It'll make its way to us somehow.
Yeah.
Do you reckon there's anyone who's got this podcast episode one before? Do you reckon Kyle Chandler's listening to it before we've released it?
Maybe.
Mm.
That's a very niche show.
So at the moment, he's listening to the next episode.
Yeah,
we haven't even recorded yet.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I wonder how it is.
I don't know.
Here we go off the rails. Morgan shaves his head and starts beating up our cars with a baseball bat. A la Britney Spears in 2004 or whatever.
That's what happens?
Yeah. You have a complete meltdown over this Livingston Chandler thing. You can't grapple with the fact that they're two different people.
So he's got to try and prevent that from happening.
in the next episode.
Morgan becoming insane.
Kyle Chandler has to prevent that from happening.
So he'll be busting in the door at some point soon.
Mm. Oh, God, I hope it's soon.
Pressure's building up.
Exactly. Alrighty, well, anyway, well, let's actually leave it there. So thank you, Jez.
Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
And thank you, Scott.
Thank you, everybody.